The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Not much is happening on the public space, but our talking points are winning. We see white talking points quite regularly in mainstream personalities, rising journalists, Tucker. It has gotten very common to hear some Christian nationalists-like or European white identity-like commentary by people that we were not habituated to see say these things. It's good, but at the same time, it doesn't lead. First, we don't win with words. We don't win the war of demographics with words. And so even if we came to accept as a society that we can be pro-white, it doesn't change the reality on the ground. The reality on the ground is the numbers, and it's the numbers of immigration, of immigrants reproducing, of our families reproducing. That is what matters. New Guy Prime says, new boss, new words. Well, are you talking about Elon Musk being the boss, or are you referring to Trump? Certainly, Elon Musk is highly responsible for the state of things, for allowing us to speak freely on the right. Although he is not a racialist himself, it seems, based on all of his pushback. And today he was celebrating, he was saying that the Jewish people is at the heart of what will defend America going forward. In other words, he sees the U.S. future would be tied with the fate of the Jewish future. I think it's what they're trying to mount. They're trying to mount kind of a center-right positioning of, well, America has the right to defend itself, but then Israel also does, and kind of try to throw this in a mix. And we'll get in the coming years a discourse of the kind that Israel is the representative of whiteness, basically, in the Middle East. New Guy Prime says, Trump, the lackeys must kiss his ass. Now we can see who merely mouths the correct words. Okay, yes, we can. And Elon Musk has been the target of an attack. Lots of attacks on Elon Musk. You can see the political left is really this bunch of anarchists who are willing to use dirty tactics to intimidate Elon Musk and people like me and so many people across the commentary space and political spaces. Elon Musk has been targeted with terrorism at his Tesla manufacturers, fire being started, bombs, explosives. And now this morning, X was not working super well because they were under a denial of service attack. And Elon Musk seems to believe that it comes from Ukraine. So it would be the pro-war. It would be the last funding that they had, you know, this last check from USAID. They spent it on a massive attack that denied service to X.
We're not sure exactly what happened, but there was a massive cyber attack to try to bring down the X system with IP addresses originating in the Ukraine area.
Ah, Well, so that's your suspicion. Is the website, is the internet up? Is it up yet?
It's up, yeah.
It's up yet. Okay, good. But I just was looking.
Now, it's not always easy to determine where a DDoS attack comes from, because generally they are bot networks, and it's mostly coming from computers that are centrally controlled by a single guy, but that can be all across the world. And it's not because many of the computers were in Ukraine that it's an attack from Ukraine. However, you can suspect that sometimes an attack, first you can investigate on the routes of commands. So if you find some examples of computers that are compromised, you can ask, well, with what kind of entity were these computers communicating? And so if you're the ISP or the data center that's hosting these compromised computers, you can say, during this event of attack, who was communicating with this server? But then there's the problem that whoever was communicating may have been protected by layers upon layers of VPN, of stuff like this. Rodilacid says, may, could be some Russian bots, could be Middle Eastern. Who gains the most with X going down? Would Zelensky gain anything? Yeah, I wouldn't accept, based on faith alone, the conclusions of Elon Musk. I think it's very hard to determine why an attack happens. But there's a bunch of punks out there, I would suspect. Internet punks, leftists. You know, there's more and more there's more and more trans terrorism out there. And there were a bunch of trans people who were caught committing murders, ideological murders in the U.S. And I wouldn't be surprised that it comes from this kind of punk leftist. And by punk, I don't mean legitimately like punk music related. I mean a bunch of really revolted people, revolted little leftists who want to mess with things. Yes, but whether they are Ukrainian, I do not know. The Jack Acid says, Rumble and X getting hit. Is it because the Goyim are noticing? That is also a possibility. You know, we've been... the Jews have been in damage control, radically damage controlling in the last few days, because there are big mainstream personalities like Joe Rogan who have decided to engage with Martyr Maid, who have decided to engage with Jan Carroll. And so it's possible that there's a bunch of people who are really displeased with just people being able to speak freely about this subject at this time. Tucker Carlson was saying about the regime in Syria that has overthrown Assad. There's more and more images coming. Basically, there's Syrian Christians who were kind of protected. They were let to be by the Assad regime. Now they are being captured, killed, genocided, shot at random while not armed, and used as horses by the Islamist militants. Tucker Carlson says, as predictable as this is, it's still infuriating to see it. For decades, Bashar al-Assad protected minority religious groups in Syria, including the country's large Christian population. No one in the United States was allowed to notice this, and anyone who did was immediately denounced by neocons as a dangerous extremist. Barry Weiss declared Tulsi Gabbard monstrous and an Assad toady for noticing. But it was true. Assad protected the Christians. The weaker Assad was, the more Christians died. During the years that neocons in the West backed the war against Assad, the percentage of Christians in Syria went from 10% to 2%. Now that Assad has been driven from power, many of the remaining Syrian Christians are being slaughtered and their holy places desecrated. Barry Weiss and John Bolton haven't said a word about it. but no one who's paying attention can be surprised it's happening. Neocon projects in the Middle East invariably destroy ancient Christian communities, from Iraq to Gaza and in many places in between. Can this be an accident? You wonder. Yeah, very sad what's happening in Syria. I don't have much to say. I agree with the reading of Tucker here. There's a bunch of people who... There's a bunch of Israeli terrorists. They hated Assad because Assad was perceived as not being kneeling strongly enough to Israeli interest and too much aligned with Russian interest. And because of this, they had to... Basically, it's a case where the Israelis are siding somehow with Islamist extremists. I think the Israelis are pretty much all over the place in terms of... Sometimes they hate Islamists. Sometimes they side with them. Sometimes they use them as tools to do their stuff in the Middle East. Sometimes they put them in planes. they put them in planes and they have them do some stuff for them. Fart, Jesus Wire. Fart. He farted four... No, don't fart six times on the chat. Oh, he farted seven times. What the fuck is this spam? Fart spamming Jesus Wire on Rumble. How do I mute the user for this live stream? There you go. He was on a streak of farting. I can tolerate an accidental fart once or twice, but this was willful. The Jack Acid says, sounds like JF is saying Jews have no principles. I mean, this has yet to be measured. I would love to have a scientific experiment. I would love for game theoretic analysis. Like, okay, I give you $5. You can give it to a random person. You can take a share for yourself. How? What's the portion that you give? What's the portion that you take? Here's a poor person that really needs it to save his life. How many of you would give him the $5? I would love to see these results, but you're never going to see it coming from academia. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the regular chat on Rumble. We are now on Rumble because Stripe has been... I think that the super chats are back on Odyssey. I think that Stripe confirmed that their investigation on me is over. But just the fact that they cut my super chats while doing their two-day-long investigation, just this fact, I think, has pushed me permanently onto Rumble, at least for now, because I'm so frustrated. Like, can't you make an investigation without cutting all flows of money? If you have interrogations, interrogate. You can send me an email. You don't have to cut everything. So anyways, I'm now on Rumble, and the super chats are on Rumble, are enabled. Also, you can use the link to the Streamlabs tips in the description below. Streamlabs are my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Nick Ferrantes has an interesting comment on greatness and on sacrifice.
Most people want someone to hold their hand. They want someone to tell them it's going to be all right. Most people, they want to get drunk on the weekends. They want to spend time with their friends. Most people want to put their feet up after a long day's work. They want to be accepted. That's what they really want. But if you told them the deal, if it was a bargain, if it was on paper, you'll have to sacrifice everything without a second thought. Would you do it? Maybe people would even think they might want to say yes, but they wouldn't be made for it. You know, they wouldn't be up for it. That's the difference. That's what separates someone that can truly, truly be something remarkable. And I don't even mean legendary. I mean remarkable. I mean something to be remarked upon. To be unremarkable, to be mediocre, unexceptional, it's in the name. By definition, it doesn't stand out. And the people that stand out are the ones that are willing to do what other people aren't willing to do. And that's what most people want for their lives. So,
yeah, it's important what he's saying there. The people who want to do what other people aren't willing to do, because there is so many ways in which you can be included in society by just doing your little share, but your little share is not unique. You could be replaceable. A lot of people are replaceable. But to be irreplaceable, to leave a mark that is signed, JFG, poof, that has your style to it, that has something that the world wouldn't have had if you weren't alive, to me, that's the important way in which to contribute to public discourse. And that's what I try to do every day. Do we have a Streamlabs tip from Western Can United?
Here is to the three Make-A-Wish kids in wheelchairs that got turned down by Kanye in the same week.
Yes, Kanye was saying on X a couple of days ago. He was saying that, yeah, he keeps getting those emails from Make-A-Wish kids that are about to die from cancer or whatever, and he tells them no. There you go, Kanye doesn't have time. Yeah, doesn't have time. Sorry, kids, there won't be time with Ye before your death, but you can watch a YouTube video of him if you'd like. George Dash says, yeah, right. Okay, no, that was a irrelevant comment. Eric Weinstein just talking the quiet part loud. Very interesting, this video.
When Israel was commenting in the wake of its pager and walkie-talkie attacks about what the intelligence community actually is, they gave an interview to CBS making the following statement. We make like Truman Show. Everything is controlled by us behind the scene. In their experience, everything is normal. Everything was 100% kosher, including businessmen, marketing, engineers, showroom, everything. Shell companies over...
He's talking about the pagers attack, you know.
Shell companies to affect the supply chain to our favor. We create a pretend world. We are a global production company. We write the screenplay. We're the directors. We're the producers. We're the main actors. And the world is our stage. This is how the IC, the intelligence community, worldwide, sees itself as this thing that sits atop normal civil society. And in so doing, it presents us a world that is simply untrue, and it's untrue at many levels. It's untrue scientifically. You talk about taxpayer money. That's really how Elon is going to track what this network is and how it functions. If you go after the money, once you do that, you're going to go after the data. So what he's really going to do is he's going to get access to the data, and he's going to figure out, as you cut things off, what stops functioning. Mm-hmm. No one quite knows that I know how the New York Times is wired to Harvard University, is wired to the Brookings Institution. And as such, it's very strange when you see a spontaneous consensus, because consensus effectively never forms in human experience. Think about any Thanksgiving dinner you've had as an American. People don't, in general, come to consensus. They have very interesting, different points of view. That's what makes humanity interesting. These large consensus positions are effectively all orchestrated. And
you're right, Eric. They are orchestrated, and the people who go after this network of this kind of fake Truman Show that you describe, they get their lives turned around, they get hit pieces written about them, and this is what needs to be changed. The system of thought control of intelligence communities, of bots, of fakeries, will be dethroned if we remove power from the controlled media and we give it to independent creators. Even when we have independent creators, to a certain extent, they will be subject to being bought out here and there. But at least we're going to have a base of people who are honest, who have made their success being honest, and who have made their success by being detected for their ability to interact with the truth. But we cannot enact this new meritocracy, this new system, if we don't have first a platform like X that doesn't shadow ban, that doesn't play the scale, that doesn't try to tip the scale in one direction or the other. We need a natural algorithm of meritocracy for human attention, one. Second, we need a mediatic space that doesn't agree onto a lie to tell to the people, because the structure of that lie will inevitably be to the disadvantage of the truth itself and to the disadvantage of some people. For example, the lie about race that you think we should tell the people. You think we should hide to the people the truths of race. You think that we should just accept that the public discussion will not include the truths about race because not clear why. Not clear why he wants this, but I know he wants this. We cannot agree on a lie, because once you agree on a lie, you are part of a cartel. You are part of a cartel that produces a manipulative public space for people, putting them in the wrong direction, in directions that are opposite to their interest. So those are the true primary factors that we need for there to be an actual meritocracy of mediatic attention, and you are fighting against these two factors. You are the one wanting elitism in the domain of blue check marks. You are the one wanting the lie about race to be forever ongoing and to be an agreement among the public speakers. So you are in the way to the truth that you want to attain. You are an obstacle to this project of truth making. The Tennessee Holler publishes this little interaction between this new white journalist woman and Sam Cedar. What a fucking loser, Sam Cedar. Exactly the kind of guy who rises in a biased market. Like when YouTube abolishes all of the competitors of Sam Cedar's, and then you get Sam Cedar to rise as a popular YouTuber, that is exactly what I was describing. It's a scale that is tipped. This guy has no intelligence. I've seen him debate with her and a couple of other people during this Jubilee episode. He doesn't even know the names for his positions. He can't even make a coherent sentence about his theistic belief, about whether he's an atheist or an atheist Jew or a Jew Judaism atheist. He doesn't know. He doesn't know any of this. George Dash says, Sam Cedar just got dunked on the whole time. Absolutely. Look at this.
What's the problem with xenophobic nationalism? Don't you think that's better for Americans in general?
To like be xenophobic, yes. Nationalism is better.
We should have a coherent culture. Everyone should be a part of the same culture. We should have assimilation.
So xenophobia, first, it's a term that is designed to be psychiatrized. It's a term that suggests that you have some disease or you have a phobia. Well, what are phobias? Phobias are things that trigger irrational scare in your brain, that you become absolutely, that it's so bad that it's a pathology, that it annoys you that you're that scared and you have no good reason to be that scared. That is what a phobia is, and it's not random that they are using this diagnostic term to try to slide it into the political arena. But it's a political belief. It shouldn't have a medical term attached to it. If you believe that, look, other people than my own people are bad. When I see them, it's bad news. When I see them on the street, it's bad news. When I see them coming in my country, it's bad news. And why is it bad news? Well, there's a thousand reasons for it. But it's bad news. Now, this is based on a factual analysis of your political interest. It's not like a phobia that makes you go irrational or where you become emotionally uncontrollable. It's an assessment of the state of facts. So to even accept this term, xenophobia, is to already slide into acknowledging that your position is a mental disorder, basically. And that's what they want you to do. But the girl has decided that she would just endorse the label, which is also okay to avoid a semantic debate. Okay, xenophobia. Let's talk about it.
Which, do you get to choose what the culture is?
We already have.
So here, Sam Cedar, of course, wants a ticket in the lottery of who decides what the... If America is to be a homogeneous culture, which culture is it going to be? Is everyone going to be a little Sam Cedar Jew, each running their podcast, each trying to sell books from other Jews? Or what is going to be the dominant culture of America? Of course, if you go by history, if there's something that America could legitimately be, it's a white Christian nation that may tolerate some minorities and that at all times of its history have had other people than white and Christian people, but they were here in a tolerance mode. You can be here if you don't annoy us too much. At this point, they are here in an attack mode, and they are challenging the rule of the majority.
Have a dominant culture.
What is based
the dominant
culture?
European and Christian values and identity. That is the dominant culture.
White Christian,
it's rooted in European identity.
White. So your argument is that
has been the dominant culture.
Just to be
and
clear,
we're not letting
historically true.
People assimilate to that. We're saying you should keep your culture, and this is why our culture is so divided.
Your argument.
Yes, and this white culture had massively positive effects on the people that were joining it. Marriage rates in the black population were extremely high in the 40s and 50s. It was like they had accepted to live by the white man's standard. And instead of pulling black people in our direction, we've pushed white people in the direction of black people. That's a case where the minority, instead of assimilating, assimilates you. And so at this point, we have polygamous-style, African-style reproduction in the white population going on.
The argument is that Trump is good for those who want a dominant white European culture.
I mean, that is what America is. It's rooted in European identity and Christian values. That's what it has been. Would you really disagree with that? What is it then, if that's not the identity of America?
I think the identity of America...
For the majority of time, America's been a country. You don't think that's been the identity?
Well, actually, no. I think actually the identity of America has been, for better or for worse, a melting pot.
So the melting pot idea, I've been told this idea by my professors back in high school days, but I think it's a mistake. I think the recipe of America has never been its diversity. And if you want to see yourself as part of America in a melting pot, you have to interpret it not as you are a legitimate causal entity into what America becomes. It's more like you are allowed to benefit. You have the chance as a Hispanic migrant, as a black person, as a Jew like Sam Cedar, you have a chance to benefit from the greatness of living around low criminality, politically organized, legal, lawful and due process believing white Christians. That is a massive luck, by the way. It's you don't get this in most of Canada right now. You don't have this in most of Canada at this moment. You don't have this almost anywhere in the world. And so the melting pot should be seen as an opportunity for you to benefit from a chance that almost no one else in human history has had, and especially not non-whites and non-Christians. If the melting pot becomes a material for your democracy to be overthrowing the power of this majority, not only will you deny yourself the advantage, you will deny yourself this very unique chance, but you will also destroy the very system that was maintaining this state of affair, and you'll end up in a place that looks like the rest of the planet, which is just a shit pile of corruption, of crime, and of absolute painful life and stinky life.
In that regard.
Yeah, maybe since like the 1960s. Even then, like, even we had this idea of...
Yeah, the concept of a melting pot is really a leftist concept of what they wish America was to become. But if America owes its greatness to anything, it is white Christians. So the melting, the greatness of America has been succeeding in spite of the desire of leftists to have a melting pot. Not thanks to.
A melting pot literally means assimilation, too. It means melting. It means you're assimilating to the dominant culture. Is that not what melting means? No.
So here she makes an error. I don't agree with her interpretation. The melting pot term is typically used by leftists to mean a kind of bouillabaisse in French cuisine, which is really a soup that you make out of various vegetables, big chunks of vegetable that don't assimilate to the soup. So to the contrary, a melting pot is it's something where you put everything in it, and everything of various sorts, and it makes a soup, it makes a mix. But it's not meant to assimilate, but that's a semantic debate around what people mean when they use the word melting pot, so it really doesn't matter. Rodila says, the rest of the world have already decided that it was better to live among a majority white nation. Simply look at the statistics, how many people move to white nations versus how many whites move abroad. Oh, that is clear. Everyone wants to live around whites, but very few people are able to reciprocate and guarantee white living to their surrounding. Stray says, the inscription on the Statue of Liberty was written by a Jew. Even so, it selects for those longing to free.
Instead, we're saying there's something wrong with xenophobia.
Dominant culture. No. I mean, look, I got to be honest with you. Like, you and I have a fundamental disagreement. We will never see eye to eye on this. It's a choice. And people, I think what you're expressing, though, is really what the Trump movement at its heart is about.
So here Sam Cedar does what a lot of these leftists do. They don't want to engage with the point. They don't want to even debate it. So it's like, oh, you believe that? Okay, I believe something else. But they always insist to say, but this extremism right here, that is what's hiding behind the Trump agenda. And I wish, but I don't think so. Trump has been again and again saying public stuff in disservice to this white European view.
And I think that's
problematic. I disagree. I don't think Trump's like anywhere close to being a Christian nationalist. That's ridiculous. Like, Trump's basically a Democrat from like 15 years ago when it comes to social issues.
So you don't think that he's conservative enough for you?
Oh, definitely. Nowhere close. No.
He's not xenophobic enough for you?
No, he's trying to import a bunch of H-1Bs. Are you kidding?
Right. Oh, so you want to get them out too. Yeah. No, I think you're making my argument for me.
Well, there's no argument, and he hasn't succeeded at making a case of why it's wrong. Of course, we can see that he has disgust for her view, but no lie was heard. No lie was heard, and no counter was heard either. There is nothing he has to say why it's good to change our population. In fact, Tucker Carlson making a very similar... this is very similar in terms of two people interacting, and you have the very same interaction happening basically between Tucker Carlson and... what's the... Cuomo?
Highly opposed to immigration, but I have to say... including my best friend, a lot of the best people I know are immigrants, and they appreciate America for what actually makes it great, which is its core freedoms. And
what do you mean you're against immigration?
We have too much immigration.
How can you say this? What do you mean you're against immigration?
Including my best friend, a lot of the best people I know are immigrants, and they appreciate America for what actually makes it great, which is its core freedoms. And
what do you mean you're against?
What do you mean you're against immigration? I'm stupid. I have never heard free commentary in the political sphere. All I've been digesting is... first, I've been working on my muscles in the gym. And then I've been digesting mainstream politics commentary. What do you mean you're against immigration? Like it's a position that you can't have. And they want to pathologize it. They want to say, oh, that's not even in the conversation. You are so out of the conversation, I can basically act like you didn't just say something.
Against immigration.
We have too much immigration, and we've made the country totally unstable.
No, there's a difference between too much and none.
Well, not...
well, either. Either would be legitimate political positions.
Against immigration.
You just said
in
that.
In theory...
okay.
We need to shut down all immigration right now until we can retain or regain equilibrium and like figure out what it is that holds us all together as a nation. It's too chaotic. It's too crazy right now. No more people, period. None. Cap it right now and then just cooling off, period. 30 or 40 years.
Cooling off from what? This is all stuff that Trump has stoked as the biggest problem we have.
It is the biggest problem we have. And I'll tell you exactly why. Because it creates...
but see, even Tucker... and you'll see it in what he lays down here. Even Tucker isn't enough of an extremist about it. Because even Tucker doesn't mention the demographics. It's not about, oh we have to wait for 30 years to just see the shock of new things. We have to let these new ideologies mix together and see the... it's not about this. It's about a demographics race. It's about evolution. It's about a race to baby making that determines the future. That is what life is about. Why can't we have a single public personality other than myself that says it? Why am I the only man on earth who says this? Why? It is so obvious that the path into the future is trailed by babies, by descendants, by your children, by your grandchildren, and that the number of babies that people make will cause issue into the consequences of the future, will cause an unfolding that is different for our country, whether it's 90% white baby or 10% white babies. That will change the world, and we can't hear that one from Tucker.
It's chaos and disunity. If you have a continental-sized country like we do, the main question you have always, every day, you're thinking about all day long, how do we hold together? How do 50 states not become 50 countries? I mean, that will naturally happen, right? Because each governor sees himself as Caesar. So how do you keep them cohesive? And the only way to do that is short of force. You could just like get nukes and tell everyone to obey. But short of that, short of becoming a totalitarian country, it's by consent. It's because everybody thinks we're in this together. We're all Americans. We have this in common. And it used to be race and religion. It no longer is. Okay, so what is it?
See, this abandonment, it no longer is. But it could be. And it could even be at the heart of a segregationist view, of a view of multi-state separation, of states existing independently, of a Balkanization of the U.S., like you just described. race will inevitably be at the heart of any form of Balkanization in the US. It won't be randomly that the Mexicans are splashed across from Los Angeles to Vermont to North Dakota. No, it's going to be on racial lines if there's any sort of conflict within the US. It already is. You have a bunch of Democrat areas that are non-white, and they push onto the farmers around them and the Republican areas around them to bring them into a political project that they're not interested in.
Crickets. What is it? What is it that we all have in common? And no one is even trying to answer.
So he's saying that a form of civic nationalism will rise, has to come, that an ideology has to come to bind us all together. I don't believe this ideology is even possible, because how do you bind people who are so different that they can't live justly, fairly around each other? Because there is no way to guarantee the equalness of rights. If I live in a fully black population, I'm exposed to threats to my life in terms of chances of being murdered that are just unfair to me as a white person. And there's no way to fix it. There's no, oh, well, let's agree that we love this flag and this idea and we believe in this God. Doesn't change the injustice I'm being submitted to. And I'm not even talking to you about productivity in society, contribution to society, political drainage of my money through taxation to pay the welfare of the population that's more dependent. There is no way to organize this with an ideology or a slogan. This is what Tucker is after. This is the era of civic nationalism.
Answer that question. And until you can answer that question, you are going to move toward disunity. The drug cartels will take over, you know, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and they'll be their own thing. And, you know, New England will be its own.
But it's not going to be the drug cartels. It's going to be the Mexicans. It's going to be the Hispanics.
Own thing. And, you know, God knows what'll happen, but it'll break apart. Because that's just the nature of people, of human society. So we need a period where we can think through what it is to be an American, what unites.
There is no amount of thinking that will solve the problem of civic nationalism. Either you have populations that breed together and are therefore part of the same ensemble, and their fate is tied genetically into the future, or you're not. And if you're not, you have a schism. And that schism will eventually translate either in the disappearance of one of the two groups or into the subordination and domination of one of the groups over the others.
Hates us. What's our civic religion? It can't just be everyone's gay. That's not enough. Pride flag is not enough to hold a country together. What is it? And immigration makes it impossible because it's too much churn.
See, I dream of a future. I dream of a future where Tucker realized that the pride flag is ridiculous, that you can't hold a society together around non-reproduction. I dream of a world in which Tucker also realizes that the next thing after the pride flag also sucks, which is some sort of civic conceptions of Americanism, based around the Constitution. But as long as you don't reproduce together, as long as you're not part of the same race, that doesn't matter, because they're going to step over the Constitution and we're going to accept more and more of our rights being taken over by leftist forces. Silent guy says, you're moving the goalpost. New guy prime was saying, yes, but they oppose you with their IDs. And he was saying, Western civilization is a shadow of Greece. Okay. Not sure I have a position on this.
Change too fast. Okay. Who are these people?
We've populated the country.
Not at this scale. We've never had immigration like this as a portion of population. We've never had it. This is, and by the way, it's happening at exactly the time when technology is certain to like overturn our economy and employment structure. Like AI is going to change everything. It's too much change at once. People's brains can't handle this much change.
And here Tucker makes a small error, which is, yes, all these changes together are bad, but it's not about the effect on our brain. It's not that our brain can't handle this change. It's that the demographic race cannot be lose its momentum on many fronts simultaneously. So yes, it's a problem when you have both AI taking out jobs and changing the structure of our society, and immigration that's there to fill the population with people who will outbreed you and outcompete you as a result of your economic instability.
And whoever opened the spigot and flooded our country with 15 or 25 million illegals in the past 4 years should be in prison for the rest of his life. That's the worst thing that's ever been done to this country. And I don't know if we can recover from it. And I
agree with this point, but it's interesting that he's making these points to Cuomo, and Cuomo doesn't get it at all. But even Tucker here is a softer representation than what we need. What we need is a realization that it's not a psychological issue. It's not about political unity. It boils down to biological realities. And the biological reality is every group has its own niches and is capable of outcompeting the other groups. We have more of the discussion with Sam Cedar here.
Hey.
Yeah,
it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Okay, so I would like to touch on the religious fundamentalist aspect.
Yeah.
Are you an atheist?
I'm a Reformed Jew. I don't have a strong belief in the existence of God, but I don't think that religion in and of itself is bad.
Okay, so what's wrong with religious fundamentalists? So like when you said trans rights and women's rights or something like that?
Well, the problem I have with religious fundamentalists, and really more, I guess it's really theocrats, okay, is that they want to impose their morality that comes from their religion on the rest of us. And I don't.
But morality, from your view, is going to be a preference, right? It's not morality, it's a preference. So morality without a foundation is going to reduce you to a preference.
Well, I have a foundation for my morality.
Which is what?
So this guy is trying to get him to into some philosophy of ethics and moralism. Sam Cedar understands none of it. This guy is trying to affirm that in the absence of an objective moral realism standard, like God, you are reduced to a preference. I would say that you are always reduced to a preference, that all of morality is a preference, even when you just decide to prefer the idea of a God or the idea of a religion.
It's a humanist vision of what basically creates as little suffering as possible for as many people.
Okay.
Holy shit. Can you believe that in 2025 we're still hearing this? This is Sam Harris 2010 right there. This guy has not evolved since Sam Harris 2010. I knew it was wrong when Sam Harris was saying it, but here you have it. The humanist Jew vision. Let us create the least suffering possible for the entire world. So what happens if life is filled with suffering? Do we stop making babies?
Okay, so you're like a consequentialist, utilitarian.
I don't really bother myself with being a consequentialist or a utilitarian.
It's always gonna.
Yes, you do. You just don't know it. You don't know these terms, but you are a consequentialist that is rooted in a pillar of human suffering and the well-being of conscious creatures.
I'm going to reduce you to a preference. So if you say that killing is wrong and I say it's right, you would really have no contention with that.
Well, no, I don't base my understanding of civil society on religion. And so we have a civil society. Okay. We have laws that we have decided as a society, yes, in a democratic way. And perfect, for some people, it's okay for it to be informed by their religion. That's okay.
Okay, perfect. So if tomorrow society comes together and we say, hey, trans folks don't deserve rights, you would be okay with that?
Yeah, what if we were in a Christian majority civilization? Because you just granted that, oh, well, it's the role of the whole of society to make laws. Well, what if there is a calculation, and perhaps it could even be humanism that motivates a law against trans, because they have caused enough problems to themselves. We have to curtail their behavior because they've been hurting themselves. They've been hurting their whole families. They've been trying to take over the whole of the political conversation in the last 5 years. So what if a majority had concluded that the law is there is no trans?
No, I would be against it, but I mean, it would be
morally right under your
not
view.
Not morally right. No. I'm okay. Not talking about morals.
Okay,
here.
So here's where I'm getting to, right? Religious foundations.
So here, the guy has succeeded at framing him as a total relativist of, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know what if I'm a consequentialist. I just care about people feeling. What about their feelings? I'm just about maximizing feelings. And then you have societies that have decided that there would be no trans. And you don't really have an issue against this other than, oh, well, I don't feel that it's good for their feels. And
provide an ethical framework for one to live their life off
I of. Believe you can have an ethical framework,
okay,
without
and
religion.
And if we take the leftist view to its logical tail end, to its extreme view, you have low reproductive birth rates. You have a reproductive dead end. So two men together can't reproduce.
So here he presents the problem of modern leftism incompatible with natural selection.
Unless they have to take from a healthy straight couple, religion provides this foundation where you do prioritize the nuclear family.
So do you have a problem with the...
And so religion comes and constitutes a shortcut. If you're going to have so much suffering in your society that you've misguided people into fucking themselves in the ass so much that to have babies and to continue the very society that we're talking about... You have to pair them with heterosexual couple and do weird arrangements of I inseminate who you inseminate him. You have complicated it to the point where it won't exist. And so religion just says, look, a man and a woman is the way to go. That's how marriage works. And don't try to complicate it. You're just going to mess it up.
With gay people being married.
Which, by the way, would save enormous amounts of suffering to the point of Sam Cedar, who wants his humanism view to prevail, who wants the reduction of the suffering of conscious creatures, eliminate trans and homosexual propaganda in our society. You're going to fix a lot of hurt. A lot of bad human feelings are going to be fixed. A much needed reduction in suicidal thoughts.
It's not that I have a problem. I just don't see a justification for why they ought to be gay outside of it just feels good. Can you give me another justification for it?
And here he's gonna trap Sam very cleverly. I like this guy. So he's saying, okay, they say that they're gay, but I don't see any reason why they say that they're gay other than they feel. They want to be gay. They feel like having gay sex.
Well, I think maybe that's the way they were born.
Okay, what about pedophiles? Are they born that way?
Very good pivot here. Is it because you are born with something that it's good? So what about pedophile? What if I'm born pedophile or I'm a born murderer? It was in my mind. It came into my brain as a child. You're going to be a murderer when you grow up. That was just who I was from the start. Does murder become acceptable?
They may be, yeah.
Okay, so should we let a pedophile off the hook since they were born that way?
No, I think we as a society is
should implement duties to prevent them from acting on.
And here you have the full reconstruction of constraints on behavior. The law exists, and in fact, the social law of religion exists to put constraints on what people are born wanting to do.
On that innate urge, correct?
Well, I think between consenting adults, it's a different thing than...
Okay, so you're okay with a 45-year-old dad with a 19-year-old daughter as well? Incest.
No.
If they consent, you're okay with that?
No, I think society has also determined that it's not beneficial.
Right, there's duties and obligations that we have. So religion provides those duties. Life isn't about freedom and exercising what you want.
I mean, well, you want to impose your religious doctrine on me, and I don't want that. No, because
you just admitted we need duties. We have responsibility as a society to...
So Sam Seder is completely destroyed because he doesn't even have a basis for why his preferences are okay to be imposed on others. And this guy demonstrated, look, you have all of these expectations like pedophiles should be punished, even consensual sex between adults, but that happens to be... A father with his daughter who are both adults, you are against these things and you want to impose these things onto society. But when we take you through the next step, which is, okay, we also want to stop these other things like trans, homosexuality, then suddenly you back. So you have your own boundary and you don't know why. You don't know why it's there. You just happen to be a more liberal, open-minded person who puts his own threshold slightly lower than where the conservatives do. Here we have, you belong in the dark, cold back of a jail cell. Florida Attorney General James Ottemeyer just skated Andrew and Tristan Tate. If you are soliciting and trafficking minors in our state, you belong in the dark, cold back of a jail cell. That's a matter of fact. I found it so bad. These Republican states like Texas and Florida, I just don't trust them. They are not genuinely Republican states in my view. They happen to be Republican, but they are populated by the very same agents that Democrat states are populated in, which will open an investigation on you just because you've landed there as a public personality. That is very worrying to me. So if you had the impression that Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate genuinely committed crimes in Florida, you should have opened these investigations when these crimes happened. Now, you are opening these investigations 10 years after the fact, after they have just landed in Florida. So the issue that you take, the right that you're really attacking here, is not whether someone has been hurt in a crime. It is that the Tate brothers have landed in Florida. And in other words, you are prosecuting them for traveling freely. And that is an absolute misuse of the prosecutorial powers. Senator Elise Slotkin struggles to respond when confronted with Newsom's comment about not allowing men in women's sport. Let's see what that is.
Senator, do you agree with Governor Newsom?
Well, look, I think, you know, you'll have to talk to Mr. Newsom and his podcast, and we're all talking about it now because it's, you know, good controversy. For me, I mean, I grew up playing three seasons of sports. In Michigan, sports is like our religion, right? I wouldn't be here, I think, without the leadership training that I got in women's sports. But for me, it's like, let the local community figure this out, right? Mm. In Michigan, we have a process in place where if someone who's born a boy wants to play in women's sports, you have to get a waiver. We've had it happen two times in our entire state. So let the local communities, just like everything with schools, handle that issue. For me, though, I think, you know, this issue is being sort of brought up in order to make sparks and see sparks fly.
Well, okay. This is just a Democrat that is going after, that is accepting the fact that there will be buy in women's sport, but at the federal level, they won't be able to compete under, I guess, the federal orders by Trump. And we have Maine, who had been violating this. They had been announcing that they would violate the Trump order. And now a federal investigation has been opened in the Maine, onto the Maine Department of Education in violation of Title IX. This week, a federal investigation determined that the Maine Department of Education violated the rights of female athletes under its charge. Official notice of the MDAOE failure to comply with Title IX was sent to state officials in a February 25 letter from Anthony Archival. Okay, Archival estimated that about 700,000 received by the MDOE in 2024 from federal sources could be in jeopardy because of its non-compliance. The notice was addressed to Maine Governor Janet Mills and State Attorney General Aaron Frey. The determination of violation was made 4 days after a widely publicized exchange about men in women's sport between Mills and President Donald Trump at a White House meeting with the nation's governors. We're starting to see a little bit of pressure on the states. I would like to see so much more, because in the end, when the Democrats are in power, what they do is they favor their own states. They pack themselves with illegal migrants. We have to be at least twice as hard when we take back power, because or else they set up victories. They set up victories. Musk says that X is under a massive cyber attack. That was this morning. These cyber attacks, I'm not super impressed. A hacker group called Darkstorm Team announces on Telegram that they are behind taking down X multiple times today. Those are very boring attacks. DDoS, just spamming the server with requests, and there are ways that eventually the server learns to. You can learn what are the IPs that were compromised, and you can eventually just ignore those IPs. Those are not particularly clever attacks. They are just someone had control maybe of 100,000 computers, data centers, had a lot of megabytes of flow that they could exploit. Not super interesting. DK Shadow says, packet shaping tech has come a long way. I don't know much about this packet shaping. I've heard the term these days, but I don't know much about it. The high school runner who is accused of attacking another runner. So here you can see. this is the black woman who has hit. She uses a baton in a relay race, and she starts hitting the back of the head of the other woman because she's running quicker than her. So it's like, oh yeah, I can't win. Then you're not going to win either. And apparently she had a major injury from being hit in the back of the head by the baton. Now here's the perspective of the girl hitting the other girl. This girl is alarmed that we are not thinking about her feelings.
Everybody has feelings. So you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental right.
You're physically hurt, but you're not considering my mental. My mental is suffering because I just hit you. What? And you can see her just hitting her on the back of the head as you hear her explanation here during the interview.
Everybody has feelings. So you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental, right?
You're not thinking of my mental, right?
They're going off of one angle. They're a couple times hitting her my baton.
And they say they're going off of one angle, but you took this baton and you've hit as strong as you could, really. in the back of her head. Dangerous for spinal cord injury, for tetraplegia, and all of this during an athletic race that is not supposed or not expected to be violent.
Off of one angle, a couple shots hit her.
There's a chirp. Did I hear a chirp? Wait a minute, is this chirp from my own home? Is it, or was it from the video?
Off of one angle, a couple shots hit her, my baton got stuck.
Well, it's in the video. Is it in the race video, or is it in this video, or this video?
I was hitting her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit. I know my intentions, and I would never hit somebody on purpose.
I know my intentions, and I would never hit somebody on purpose, but you've took the baton like a fucking hammer. And that's like, I mean, it's like you are pursuing her like Freddy Krueger in a nightmare. It's like, I know my intentions. I would never do this on purpose. Wow. This is the problem. We find ourselves with cognitions that don't have organized intentionality. And what the fuck do you do with this when your criminal system of assault and definition of physical assault and other things all require mens rea? Is this black woman capable of mens rea?
I got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit. I know my intention.
She got hit. I lost my balance. No, this is not a case of lost balance. It was intentional hitting.
She said I would never.
Boom! Did you see this? Look at this.
She said I would never.
Boom! Wow.
Hit somebody on purpose. They're assuming my character.
Have you ever considered the fact that you have so much evil inside of you that once you saw someone else winning, once you realized that it was loss, you wanted her to be deprived of the opportunity to even win, to celebrate her victory over you. She may not have ended up first, but she would have ended up ahead of you. That you are so evil inside that something inside reacted instinctively and led you to want to hurt her so that there would be no victory. Zelensky must prepare elections, cede territory to end the war. According to the Trump admin, the Trump White House wants President Zelensky to begin planning elections or else consider stepping down as a condition for the resumption of U.S. military aid and intelligence sharing. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has also said Monday that Ukraine must cede territory. Ukraine would have to make concessions over land that Russia had taken since 2014 as part of any agreement to end the war. Well, it's the right direction. I hope that they don't replace Zelensky with just a, you know, a kind of tool of the Trump regime. I just hope that they can move forward. I hope that they can move forward Ukraine as a nation and just accept these territorial concessions. It's not going to be reverted anyway. So just move on and accept your current state. The Russians, meanwhile, are advancing in the Kursk region. They continue to advance, and the amount of prisoners of war has also increased. I have now more prisoners of war than fighters, says one of the unit commanders. So a lot of Ukraine soldiers don't have the energy anymore. And the funding is drying out, and probably the leadership of Ukraine, the morale is probably drying out too. So in these situations, you have a lot of Ukrainian soldiers that just they are sent to the front line by their director and they say, okay, I'm going to go. And then they surrender. They're like, I don't want to fight anymore. At least I'm going to stay alive if I'm captured by the Russians. So they basically get intentionally captured. And as a last news item, Wendy Williams, we had talked about the fact that this TV personality, this black woman TV personality, she's been stuck on a floor of a building for many months now. She's had her rights completely taken over by a probate court on the argument that she had dementia or something like this. And it's absolutely disgusting what they do, these courts. They deprive you of rights. They remove your... They give your decision-making to some agent of the state sometimes. Sometimes it's someone from your family who truly has your interest at heart. But sometimes it's a predatory lawyer from the state and they don't have your interest at heart and they up their fees and they feed themselves money with your inheritance. So anyways, she was so stuck that she had made a TMZ interview from her window because she can't escape, apparently, this place where they detain her, kind of in a psychiatric hold type of situation. But she's been taken away by ambulance after dropping a note from her window pleading for help. Williams, 60, who is not allowed to go outside, was put in an assisted living facility by family. Police responded to her unit after a note dropped from the window that read, "Help Wendy." Williams, who was diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, has been fighting her court-ordered guardianship and says she is rarely allowed to leave her room. "I'm not allowed to go out. I can call you, but you can't call me. The system has failed from top to bottom regarding this guardianship and everybody involved with that. The system failed. I want my freedom back." We have to completely abolish probate courts as they stand. They are absolute abusers of rights. They don't care. They are not subject to due process review. The appeals court will laugh at your face. They are taking over people's rights, and they are doing so on factually flimsy, extremely flimsy basis. They are doing so, they are allowing a predatory system of social workers and lawyers to take over your life and take over your money. It has to be destroyed, just like family court, and completely rebuilt. If there's a legitimate purpose to these things, let's find it, but let's do it cleanly and in line with people's rights. In the end, if you don't assault anyone, does it really matter that you have frontotemporal dementia? If you don't hurt anyone and you're just a crazy old woman in your house, okay, well, all you can hurt is hurt yourself. The way we should proceed is no matter what you have, no matter the mental disorders you may have, if you haven't hurt anyone, you're free. If you hurt someone, you're in jail. But there shouldn't be this middle ground of, oh, well, maybe you're going to hurt someone in the future. Now you're entering pre-crime. Now you're entering the hellhole of Minority Report. Brevis says, got to go. Love the show, JF. Thanks. Well, thanks to all of you for being here. By the way, if you'd like to send super chats throughout the night, the Streamlabs link for tips is enabled at the bottom in the description below. Don't hesitate to use it. I want to make sure that Streamlabs is viable and that I can make a living out of the super chat, just like I was doing under Odyssey and Stripe. So reassure me here and show me that you still support the show. The show needs your support to keep going. Or if you want to donate on a monthly basis, click on the Patreon or subscribe star links in the description below. You'll see monthly donation options. New Guy Prime says, but the middle ground is where the elites can manipulate the system. Exactly. All of these systems, they get used when targeting people like me. Family courts, these ex parte orders, probate courts are all systems in which clearly I've been politically persecuted, and where the rights are so low, the review process is so painful, and the appeals court cares so little that they will let political persecution happen on the record, and they won't even overturn the decisions at the appeals court level. So this shouldn't exist. There shouldn't be these tools for political oppression, just because you can't bias the criminal prosecutorial system strong enough. So you have these other tools at your disposal if you want to arrest Papa JF. The Jack Acid says, also, how many times do you see blacks murdering and they don't prosecute because the defendant is too dumb to stand trial? Absolutely, that is the hellscape that I see on the horizon. They're going to start arguing that there are people who basically have the right to commit crimes in our society because they're too stupid. Thank you so much, Lager Fash, for great the stuff. Last minute donation. Bye bye.